All right, today is Friday, yay, October 14th. This is the noon Eastern time PSS group, and our topic this week is collecting information and executive function. Fun stuff. And so we're going to go around right now and check in and celebrate and see what's been going on. Who wants to go first? I'm showing three people on the call, Sherry, and then people I can't identify.
I'll go first.
Go for it.
I'll go first. Sherry Wilkins in Kittery, Maine.
Awesome. What do you want to celebrate?
Beautiful fall weather and gorgeous foliage.
Okay, fair enough. Who wants to go next? We're just checking in and celebrating if you're just joining us.
This is Ileana in Chicago.
Hey, Ileana.
I joined earlier this week, but then I was in a location that had a really bad reception, and I just had to kind of hang up after 15 minutes.
Okay, so I wonder what happened to you.
Yeah, I'm joining to the full session now.
It's totally fine.
And,
awesome. Welcome.
And I'm celebrating also a beautiful sunny day in Chicago, which sometimes are hard
Yay.
To come by.
For sure.
And you're celebrating a Cubs win, right?
Right.
That's me.
Of course.
Hey, Jennifer, you want to go next?
Yes, I am Jennifer. I am a transplanted Illinoisan, and so rooting for the Cubs from Olympia, Washington. And I have a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old, and we are having the storm of the century. So it is not sunny. It is rainy and thundering and lightning, which it never does here. And
Ooh.
I am celebrating being on the call. Kids are off school today, so my normal Friday that is calm
Me time.
And my own and organized and all of those things is not. So I'm going to celebrate getting through that by putting it out into the universe in advance.
Awesome. Thank you. It's rainy and cold here in Kansas City as well. So I am very jealous that a little bit north of us in Chicago, it is sunny. let's see. Someone from Georgia.
Hi, this is Pat in Atlanta.
Hey, Pat.
I have a 10-year-old son. I guess my celebration, this happened a couple of weeks ago, but he got a B on his math test, which actually we found out later was actually hard for all the students, not just my son. So
wow.
Making a B, I was very happy with that.
Awesome. That's great. That's really awesome. He must have been really proud. Cool deal. Has anybody else joined us? All righty then. So what we're going to do now is go back around and take aim. Like I said, our topics today are executive functioning and collecting information, and it's probably going to be a little more training heavy just in terms of going through some information that's written down than some of our other calls will be, because there's a lot around executive function, as you guys know already. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and go back around and take aim. And remember, when we take aim, we're taking aim on the change that we want to see, right? So if it was, we touched on it a couple weeks ago, but if we were talking about, you know, taking aim from a macro level on the morning routine, we'd want to get really specific on what piece of the morning routine, what specific change we want to see, so that it helps us kind of set ourselves up for success. Because if we take aim too broadly, then we're not going to be successful, and it's really easy to get frustrated. And particularly when we're parents of kids as complex as ours, we want to be successful, and we want to be able to celebrate the small successes, because the small successes for us are huge successes. So if you need help with taking aim, worry not. I can help walk you through that. And again, it does not have to be related to whatever the topic is today. You know, if you had a fight last night or someone had a meltdown this morning, you know, and that's top of mind, then just take aim on what's top of mind. So let's go back around and just chime in when you're ready to take aim.
Okay. I think I'm ready.
Go for it,
Sherry.
All right.
I want to take aim on stopping threatening language.
Okay, perfect. Who's next?
I want to take aim on So, interjecting, kid A interjecting into the thing that's going on between parents and kid B.
Ah, okay. So, minding your own business kind of thing?
Yes.
All right. Cool. Ileana, how about you?
I'd like to take aim on my son's having a play date this afternoon. And he has a hard time doing what the other kid wants to do and just sometimes asks me to send the child home when they don't want to do what he wants anymore. So we had several conversations at bedtime this week, so I want to take aim on having a successful play date.
Ah, cool. What will success look like? Just curious.
When the child says they want to play something else, that he transitions calmly and tries it, even if he doesn't like what they want to play.
Okay. Okay. So if we were to get a little more specific, would it be accurate to say that you want to take aim on helping your son transition appropriately and effectively or politely?
Yeah.
Okay. I can be wrong, so if I misheard you or if there's more to it than that, definitely chime in and let me know.
Yeah. You know, I think being a good host in particular, being responsive to what his guest wants to play.
Okay. I like that. Perfect. That's a tough one. It's hard for grown-ups sometimes to do what other people want to do.
Yeah.
But so important. Perfect. Good. Has someone else joined us from the Chicago area? That hasn't checked in? Hello? If you've joined us in the past couple minutes and you haven't
checked in yet, I was on mute. This is Bowie Cameron with Ileana Mora.
Okay, cool. Welcome. What would you like to celebrate?
Thank you.
Sure. So do you want to take aim and celebrate at the same time?
I'm really trying to be, in general, I want to learn how to better interact with my son. Given the kind of challenges of a focus. So I'm really, this is my first call, so I'm really more listening in, and I'll take the lead from my wife.
Okay. Fair enough. Would you like to celebrate, though? We do ask everyone to come with us a celebration or come up with a celebration, something that's going well, or it can be just being on the call or something that's happened in the past week or two that's been really pretty awesome.
I think in general, some of the calls or conversations that we've had has really helped me to have the right expectations, if you will, in working with my son, and to really come from the point of love, of care. More so than expectations and trying to meet, my expectations or what expectations I may have of him. But really just, to focus on the relationship and have better relationship with him.
Okay. Awesome. So we're celebrating kind of a perspective shift maybe or,
Yeah. Awesome. I would say, yeah. Shifting.
Perfect. Yeah. Shift happens, right? Really critical, very important to think about that, and it's a key piece of our model, that parenting positively and setting appropriate and realistic expectations, and above all, honoring the relationship with your child, because at the end of the day, that is going to be the most important thing. All right, cool. Has anyone not taken aim? I feel like I'm missing a couple people.
This is Pat. We need to take aim on is my son going back and using his planner for school again and just keeping it updated.
Okay. Cool. That's pretty straightforward. Awesome. Who else? Did I get everybody? No, I'm thinking I missed somebody. Oh, if I forgot you, or if you have any time to end, please do so. All right, cool. Well, we will forge ahead. If you have the workbook in front of you, or if you've looked at the workbook, we're on page 20, which is collecting information in the six areas of executive function. This is a longer chapter than the other chapters, or a longer segment than the other segments, just because it has three pages instead of two. I guess technically four pages if we include the questions at the very end. But, you know, executive functioning is really critical to ADHD, and there's a movement afoot to change the definition of, or the diagnosis of ADHD to executive functioning deficit disorder. It's interesting. I hear people kind of play around with that. And, you know, my child doesn't have ADHD, but he does have executive functioning deficit disorder, which is really a lot of the things that ADHD encompasses. And they're very specific ways where ADHD symptoms and challenges may manifest in a kid's life or an adult's life. And so if we start with the collecting information piece, basically what that is it's about being curious. You know, it's about wondering what else could be going on, like with the planner. Why isn't he using his planner? What's come up? What else could be happening that I may be unaware of with respect to the planner? And just asking a lot of questions around that specific area, because if we don't get really clear on what could be going on or what else might be going on or what we might be missing, then whatever plan we end up putting together to help with that specific problem is not going to be successful. And that's okay. It may happen anyway. We may ask all the right questions and get all the right information and still miss the mark. But as long as we stay really curious and collect as much information as we can before putting a plan together, we're really going to increase the odds of being successful. So, again, executive function is an umbrella term for all those skills that are involved with organization and self-management. You've probably heard the example of the orchestra and the conductor. And without the conductor, you know, none of the pieces know how to play together. None of the sections know how to play in time or at the right pace or when to come in or when to exit. And it's a really good analogy for executive function skills. And so there's a couple different pieces of this. One, so Dr. Thomas E. Brown is the guy from Yale who, I call it the Goldfish book, but it's that's not the name of it. There's a goldfish on the cover. He wrote Smart But Stuck. And, you know, the ability to regulate those areas of executive functioning is really what's going to help our kids be successful in school and in life. Because once they're able to manage these areas, and not only manage, but also identify the areas where they're struggling, then we can help them put together systems and structures to help them be, you know, successful. And then Dr. Mark Burton is another guy who kind of chimed in and helped put together a more readable chart. Dr. Brown's chart is a little confusing, I think. And then Diane and Melena now got together and we put together a third chart, which is the one that you see on page 22. And it's got some pretty colors on it. But it's got some very specific examples of how executive function challenges manifest in our lives and our kids' lives. And so for the purposes of today's call, what we recommend you do this at home, or you can do it now if you have the information in front of you, is print that chart out for each family member, even the ones who don't have a diagnosis, and just go through and circle the areas, the specific, you know, subheadings there where you see the challenges in your child's life. And I think that a couple really great points come out of this. One, it's good to identify which areas you need to focus on or which areas your child is struggling with the most. And then the other piece is that I think it helps answer that question that we have sometimes of, is it naughty or neurological? You know, is my kid really just doing this to bug me? And they, you know, they, or can they truly not do it? And when we see everything kind of lined out on paper here with, you know, circles around the areas that are the most impactful, it helps solidify the notion that, you know, if our kids were able to do it, they would, or not. So I'll probably stop talking right now. Yeah, let's do that. And let me know as you're looking through the chart, if you don't have the chart in front of you, actually, I'm going to talk a little bit more. Sorry. There's six areas that we have listed there, and it's task management, which is like activation. So planning, organizing, prioritizing, stuff like that. Sometimes people think that people who have challenges in this area, they look lazy and unmotivated. The second area is action management, which is action, and that's pretty straightforward. That's the hyperactivity, the impulse control, the ability to regulate. You know, this is the kid that's bouncing their legs all the time or has really bad handwriting. I mean, that's the hyper and the hyperactivity diagnosis right there. Information management is working memory, and I like to think of working memory as like counter space. You know, how much counter space do you have to put the information on? And the younger you are, and the you know, if you have an ADHD diagnosis, the less available counter space you have. You know, so younger kids with ADHD may only be able to retain one or two pieces of critical information at a time, and they may not be able to retain much more for a long time. And in fact, I saw a really interesting study the other day that as a nation, or as a world, really, our working memory in general is going down significantly. You know, phone numbers used to be, well, they are, they're seven numbers, because seven numbers used to be an easy number for people to remember. And the study I saw a couple of weeks ago said that we actually can only remember now between four and five numbers off the top of our head because of the availability of information and the amount of information that just streams through us from day to day. So fascinating stuff. But so working memory, you know, recall, forgetfulness, you know, just challenges and putting together lots of stuff, organizing, pretty straightforward. Attention management is more about focus, which always cracks me up because that is a definite challenge for our kids. But that can be, you know, hyper-focus or not being able to focus either. You know, the inability to stay on task or challenges with transitions. We were talking about that before. And just paying attention, that idea of what all is involved in paying attention, what does that mean? And so there's so many steps in that specific quadrant that I think it's fascinating to see what comes up for people when they dive into that. Emotion management, this is one that probably a lot of us are challenged with. Impulse control, intense emotions, you know, the reaction to the event being really out of proportion to what we perceive the actual event to be. You know, shutting down, just not being able to handle, getting, you know, frustrated. This is where we see that oppositional defiant disorder come out quite a bit. It does get better as your kids get older and get a better grasp of how to manage that emotional piece of it, but it's really strong when our kids are younger. And then effort management is about energy, and that's about, you know, sustaining effort and processing speed and the ability to make decisions. It can also, you know, when they crash in the afternoon, you know, that's when you're going to see a lot of the emotional and behavioral challenges, but it's also related to effort management and being able to sustain that over time. So that's a lot of talking for me. If you have the chart in front of you, or if you're just kind of listening and something's coming up that stands out, chime in. What is there an area here that surprises you? Is there an area where you specifically see your kid as having, you know, or being dominant in terms of an area of opportunity? What about for the adults too?
So with my issue with my 12-year-old, you know, we'll be doing something with my 6-year-old, and he'll just insert himself in ways that are totally inappropriate, and it's both the impulse control in terms of action management. It's also emotion management because it's an outburst, but it's also, mm-hmm. you know, it's nothing to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit, some of it feels a little, you know, puberty related because he's always had this very, his sense of fairness and what is right with the world and wrong with the world is very high.
Uh-huh.
To the point where he told us we needed what did he call it the other day? We needed a children's advisory council because the way we were handling things was not appropriate. So, right.
You gotta love that, though. I mean,
eventually it's funny. At the moment, it was just totally infuriating. But
right.
It has a lot of components of what you've been talking about. So it's hard to sort of pinpoint. And I realized as you were talking, I was kind of jumping ahead to the step of, you know, how do you fix it? Because at least right now, when I'm, you know, kind of emotionally attached to it happening and all of that, I get caught up in the,
I can't see that there's any, you know, one time it happens. It just, it feels random and all of that. So I'm taking a step back and just thinking, trying to focus on this chart, but also seeing that it's all over the map in terms of the places of executive function that it affects.
Yeah, yeah, good. Thank you. It's hard. It's hard to stay out of the fix-it mode, right? Because, you know, we see the problem. We know what it is. And so, you know,
right.
Okay, let's put together a plan to get rid of that or to mitigate that in some or mediate it, however.
Right.
But we can't go there yet because we don't have enough information.
Right.
Yeah, no, those are excellent points. And I love your point about that sort of rigid sense of right and wrong and very black and white. It's also
and I'm not
very
having
typical
a children's
of our kids.
Council.
I love that idea, though. It just cracks me up. Sorry. I'm sure it was really frustrating in the moment, but it just makes me smile.
This is Eliana.
Coming up for you guys.
Yeah, when I look at this chart, it's sometimes I'm getting much better at it as I educate myself, but sometimes it's hard as you look at this chart to say, okay, is my son acting this way because of ADHD or is it because of X, Y, and Z other reason? And so, you know, how do you manage that? How do you decipher and kind of filter out what is the reason behind it?
Great question. I mean, that's a million-dollar question. I think that we all struggle with that, and, you know, identifying is this not your neurological is what Elaine and Diane like to say. And, you know, if you apply that 3 to 5 year developmental delay and you look at, you know, the age of your child, and how old is your son?
Nine.
Okay. So if you think that developmentally, not intellectually, but developmentally, he's probably 3 to 5 years behind his peers. You know, if you think about the support and the ability of a six-year-old or even a five-year-old to perform certain tasks and certain functions, and sometimes have parents, you know, wander around elementary school and kind of, you know, go by first grade or kindergarten to remind themselves what that time period was like and what kinds of, you know, supports that we needed to provide for our kids at that age, because it's hard to remember. And if you look back and you think of what they needed then, and if you see that that may be what they need now, or that whatever the executive functioning challenge is that's coming out, if it fits for a kid that's 3 to 5 years younger than where your child is, then that's that neurological piece. And for the most part, I'd say, you know, under 13, the majority of our kids want to do well. I always quote, you know, Ross Green that, you know, if they can do it, they will do it. And if they're not doing it, more than likely it's because they can't do it yet. Not that they won't ever get to do it or be able to do it. It's just not yet. Teenagers are a little different, I think. Sometimes I think they truly are just kind of messing with us. It's a little bit harder to tease that out. But for the majority and for the most part, it's going to be neurological. But trust your gut. You know your child better than anyone. You know, we always say that the worst thing a kid can do is get it right once, because then we're going to expect them to do it all the time. And sometimes it's a fluke. So just keep all those pieces in mind. What's coming up for everybody else? If you're an adult with ADHD. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Hi, I just chimed in about 10 minutes ago. I'm sorry, couldn't find the number. My name is Cecilia. And
hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. One of the questions that I have. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My son is 10, going to be 11, and I am, one of the questions that I have is, in the beginning of the year, he, you know, wasn't medicated, and I'm sorry, not the beginning of the year, over the summer, but now school started, and I'm having trouble getting him motivated to do his schoolwork. I mean, I know that's like a $1 million question, and he does the work, but it's just enough. It's not like he puts in his best. Now it's a lot to expect for me to ask him to put his best every day, every time at each assignment, but this the teacher is expecting that, and his effort is reflected in his grades. Mm-hmm. How do we encourage him? And that, you know, how do I encourage him? The teachers have made it very clear that he's in grade 5. We have to be very hands-off. So if he's got a question with the teachers, any problems mm-hmm. with homework, it's got to be not parent-driven but child-driven. So they don't even mm-hmm. want to hear from the parents at all unless it's, like, mm-hmm. something important, which I think is mm-hmm. great because now he's going to different classrooms and has 8 teachers instead of just 1 teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, and so how do I get him motivated? I have tried the, hey, bud, I've gone to school. I graduated. I have my degree. I'm done. You know, so mm-hmm. this is on you.
He's in 5th grade, you said?
He's in grade 5, right. He'll be okay, you know, yeah. he'll be 11, like, next week. But, you know, it's just teaching them responsibility, and it's the first year. But it's the thing is about how to just put your best work in. And mm-hmm. I think that that's a question even for boys or girls who don't have ADHD.
Sure. Well, yeah. So there's a lot in what you just said there. And one of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the call is taking aim and being really specific on the change that you want to see. And so, you know, if we were going to backtrack just a little bit, what piece of that specifically do you want to focus on? Because getting motivated is pretty broad, right? I mean, and it can apply to really almost anything. And what we try to do is get really specific about what we're going to focus on or what we're going to take aim on so that we can put together or we can collect the information that we need to be successful, and then we can put together a system or a structure that's going to be successful. So what I would challenge you to do is think about one class, one area, one piece of that to start with.
Okay. So obviously you want me to answer that. Oh, gosh. I guess one class, one area. It's really just, it's not so much, he's consistent all the way around with
mm-hmm.
not putting in, you know, doing sort of just enough or barely
mm-hmm.
enough. And it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that I should choose a class and.
Well, so I'm thinking, you know, what if that's the best he can do? I mean, if what he's giving
you
right now,
what
that looks like. Okay.
Yeah. No, I know that's not his best because he that's definitely, and the teachers know that, and I've seen that, because when he is medicated, he does great. When he's not medicated, it's inconsistent. And I don't really want to have to medicate him all the time, you know, mm-hmm. to do homework. And then sometimes I'll give him a quarter of what he normally gets.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that sometimes he can do it on his own. And I take that back,
mm-hmm.
because even when he's medicated, he has said, I just want to be done. I just want to finish. I just want to play. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to flunk out of life if I don't do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more the
Well, there's a lot in that, right? I mean, and if you think back to what you just said, I mean, if he does great when he's medicated, and if that's what he needs to be successful, and again, medication is a very personal choice. Not everyone chooses it. Not everyone can use it. Not everyone responds
yeah.
well to it. And it certainly isn't, it doesn't teach skills, but it does put your child in a position where he's able to learn the skills that he needs to be successful. So, you know, I would start there. I just start kind of breaking it down. I mean, you know what success looks like for him. There are definitely other ways to activate the brain. But there's several pieces to what you mentioned. You know, there's homework. There's the fact that he's changing classes this year for the first time. It sounds like he's got 8 teachers instead of just 1 or 2, which is a major change. You know, he knows what he needs to be successful, as do you. Is there a way to be more consistent there? There's lots of little pieces. Does he need more playtime after school? Does he need an energy break or a brain break or a protein break? Lots of chunks there. So I guess I would encourage you to boil it down a little bit and see if you can't find one area to focus on. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, in a sense, I just don't know how to break it down because there's
okay.
no – I wouldn't know how to break it down, I guess. So,
okay. Well, tell you what, let's come back to that. Let's get everybody else a chance to chime in on executive functioning, and then we can come back – towards the end of the call and help you take aim a little bit more specifically. How's that sound?
Sure.
Cool.
That's great. Thank you.
Sure. Other thoughts about executive function, guys, in your life or your child's life?
This is Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
As I look at this chart, I've circled almost everything. It's kind of overwhelming. But as I look at what it's like, he's got all these problems. There are very few that I didn't circle.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm taking AIM, the one that I would focus on is the emotion management. That's what we're having difficulty with now. He's 10. Mm-hmm. He's in a new school. Mm-hmm. His school is much different than the one that was just described.
Mm-hmm.
He has an IEP, but we are having some, and he has modified homework requirements because he also has a learning disability. Mm-hmm. And he has a lot of special classes to help him with his academic deficits.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working on behavior, and we're just getting started. This is like the third week of school. But we've had a number of rather serious behavioral issues, and one of them is the threatening language that he's been using toward peers and teachers and us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as I look at this, that seems to me to fall under emotion management.
Yes, definitely. What do you think's going on there?
You know, I'm not sure. He's in a new caregiving situation, new living situation, new school, and I think it's all kind of overwhelming. He's also testing to see what's going to happen when he does these things. I think, you know, at some level, he's hoping they'll expel him and he won't have to go to school. I'm puzzling to try and figure out what is actually going on, because we haven't seen this kind of behavior for a very long time, and generally not too much toward us. It's kind of a new thing. So I'm still trying to work out what I think could be going on. And, of course, trying to get the information from him is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
He's 10, but he's, as you say, 7 or maybe even 6. And he's not talking. He'll say, you know, say, well, what's going on? What are you feeling? And he'll say, I don't know. I can't tell you.
Mm.
So,
And that's accurate. You know, I think for a lot of kids, like our kids, it's hard for them to identify what it is they're feeling and name it, right? I mean, they're not comfortable.
I think he either doesn't have the words or he doesn't want to say the words. But he will say, well, I'm upset with myself. Are you upset with me? Or I'm upset with myself. So he knows, you know, he's misbehaving and he's not being appropriate. And we're working on how to deal with it. So,
tough situation. That's that piece where we talk about collecting information and getting really curious. That, you know, what else could be going on? Is there anything in the moment that's similar? Is there anything in terms of time of day that's similar? Is there, you know, would some, like a social skills or some kind of a self-awareness type of class help him recognize when he's starting to feel that way?
Well, they're starting to do that. But as I say, it's early days, you know, it's 3 weeks in, and they're getting to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So I think we need more investigation, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You're doing all the right things. A lot of new, like you said. I think that's got to be a key piece of it. But that is usually the first place where we see, you know, challenges. Is that emotional control, emotional regulation area? Because particularly with our younger kids, it's the first thing to go, but it's the first way it manifests. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Cool. What else?
Any adults with ADHD on the call that recognize or have identified some areas maybe that were new, that were challenging or continue to be challenging? Okay. Who else has joined us? I see someone from Mount Kisco.
Andrea, I'm here. I just joined in.
Hi, Andrea. How's it going?
California.
What?
California.
Oh, you're in California?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that
what? I think it says New York. I don't know why. You're like, that's not where I am. All righty. Well, did you want to take aim really quickly or chime in with anything on executive functioning?
Well, it was interesting.
Oh, no, there you are. Go ahead.
Yeah, did you find me?
I found you. Yeah, you popped up. Sorry. You were lost. You didn't know it.
Okay. No, it was interesting what the previous caller was just talking about, because my daughter's 16, but, yeah, it's the stuff that we've been kind of dealing with. Well, I guess we've been dealing with it for a while, but didn't realize it. It is the emotional control that I think she also struggles with. And same issues. It's like, you know, we ask her things and she just can't tell us. She can't give us any information, you know. I mean, even sometimes where she'll be really hungry and we'll say, well, what do you want to eat? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then everything I suggest is like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. It's like, okay, you know what you don't want, but what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And usually she has a very specific thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
But anything that's not that, she doesn't want.
Gotcha.
So it's really
also
hard.
Very common.
Very rigid, inflexible. I don't know why.
Likes what she likes.
Yeah.
How
and
do
it's
you
like,
think
well,
she's
really sorry. Hungry? You would eat almost anything, but it's not that way.
Hmm. What do you think's going on for her?
I don't know. I think it's some of that. It's hard for me to understand because I'm not that way, you know. And it's kind of like if I'm hungry, I'll eat almost anything I can find. But she's super hungry to the point where, you know.
You can tell.
Yeah.
She's hangry.
She's not being nice to people because she's that hungry.
Right.
But at the same time, she has to have some specific thing, and I don't know.
How does she respond to choices? Are too many choices overwhelming? If she has two or three, is that better, or is it always just the one or nothing?
Well, usually I'll give her a couple choices, but if she has a certain thing in mind, she won't tell us what it is, but at the same time, she won't, she doesn't want anything else. So, once in a while, I can say, well, what about this? Or, you know, I'll name a few things that I know she does like, but sometimes she'll be like, oh, okay. But there's certain times when she's just very inflexible about it.
And is your feeling? Sorry, go ahead.
I think she's like that with other things too. You know that where she's, I don't know, that kind of emotional control. Is hard. I mean, when she gets like stuck, sort of like feels like.
Almost like a hyperfocus or a perseveration, or.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's very hard for us to understand because she's not telling us what's creating this problem.
Right. And it's possible she doesn't know or she's not able to name it. Like I said, that's really common. She probably just knows what she doesn't want, or the feeling or the possibility of having to filter through all the possible things or options that it could be is so overwhelming that she'd rather just stay on nothing, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then sometimes there's anxiety, too, around not knowing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like that's a big thing for her, is the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
Feeling maybe out of control.
Mm-hmm. Very scary.
It's hard for me to remember because she stays in her room a lot, so we don't really know what she's going through.
Right. So that's normal teenage behavior.
All right.
Right. So what's one piece around that you would like to focus on or take aim on? The food?
I need to take aim on...
you cut out. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Oh,
you need to take aim on.
It came on my reaction to her.
Ah, okay. Love it.
Because
what goes on for you in that moment?
Well, I get, first of all, if she's rude to me, then I get hurt and then I get angry. And that doesn't make it better. But, if she's not being rude, I just get frustrated because I can't help her. And then she feels that, and then that doesn't make it better either.
I'm just listening to something.
Oh, hello?
Hello?
Oh, sorry. Hello? Oh, someone is not on mute. No big deal. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess I just have to work on how I react to whatever it is going through.
Okay, that's good recognition. That is. And that's, again, that's an emotion management piece that impacts us as adults as well.
Yeah.
Who has joined us from Mount Kisco, New York? Sorry, I'm not trying to...
I'm from Harrison, New York.
Who's that?
Oh, Cecilia, but I asked the question.
Oh, no,
already.
That's not you. No, yeah, no. So I've got someone from a 914 area code that I'm not recognizing. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I just want to make sure I know who's here.
Okay,
I can make sure we have you on the list.
I have the 914 area code again. It's Cecilia. It could just be.
Yeah, no, I have you.
Oh, okay.
No, there's two. I've got you down. Yeah, I have you down, but then there's someone else who's coming in. Last name, Carl, so anyway, doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be too big brothery. Just like to know who's here. Make sure you're on the list. Okay. Oh, they hung up. Whoops. All right.
I'm not all, but I've been missing all my calls, so...
That's okay. No, you're here. I've got you. Don't worry. You're totally fine. Someone else was here that isn't on the list, and they hung up. So we'll track that down later. No big deal. All right. So it is a quarter till, since we've got such a big call. I think the best thing to do at this point is to go around and do our checkout, which may seem a little premature. But I want to make sure everyone gets a chance to do it because it's an important part of processing the stuff that we've talked about and really solidifying what you're going to do over the next couple weeks or what actions you want to take. And so if you've not checked out with us before, there are four questions that we ask at the end of each call. And if possible, we like for everyone to answer. Like I said, this is a typically a pretty interactive session.
like to hear from everyone. And the questions are, what did I pay attention to or focus on most today? What's my aha or my clarity or my key takeaway? It doesn't have to be anything earth-shattering. You know, it can be something really simple, and sometimes there isn't one, and that's fine too. What's a realistic action step I'm willing to take, and how do I set myself up for success with that action? So the four questions again are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What is my aha or my takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step I'm willing to take? And how can I set myself up for success with that action? Or what do I need to set myself up for success with that action? So take a few, you know, seconds, minutes, however long you need to kind of sort through those in your head. And then just jump in when you're ready. And remember, we're not going to hold you accountable. We're not going to check in with you in 2 weeks to see how that went unless you want us to. We do encourage you to share information in the private Facebook forum if there's something that went really well or if you came across a resource that you think would be valuable for someone else. Please, please, please share. That's what those forums are there for. And particularly the private forum is it's just clients only, and it's the majority are the PSS clients. So you're with your peers. But again, we're not going to say, hey, how'd it go? Or, oh, you didn't follow through on your action step. That's not going to happen. We're just trying to help you put a path together, you know, in your mind and in your life that may or may not work. Hopefully it does. But again, we don't need to add more stress or pressure to what's going on with you. So feel free to chime in again whenever you're ready with answers to the four questions.
Hey, this is Jennifer. I'll go ahead and go. And I would just say it was a good reminder of you know, that this really is a brain functioning issue, not a I'm trying to make you mad issue or I'm, you know, out to destroy the family or anything like that, but that there are real, you know, scientifically based parts of the brain, or I mean scientifically based assessments of the different parts of the brain and what they control, and you can have challenges there and, you know, they have an impact. So that mm-hmm. takes the intention away from it, I think is my my reminder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also just the other thing I said earlier about not getting ahead of myself, like remembering mm-hmm. this part of the step is key. I wrote down in my little book that I'm asking to be held accountable, because I really would. I like this idea of trying to figure out the mind your own business thing and what mm-hmm. so when we get to systems and structures, I know I'm going to want some help
mm-hmm.
thinking about that, because I do feel like in terms of what are the things we handle well, you know, there's a category of those, and the things we don't handle well and the kind of damage they do when the person, or when you were, I don't know, remember who said it, but just remembering to honor the relationship and that the most important thing is, you know, in the end is what we have with our kids. And so the thing that I feel right now is the most destructive is the impulse controls around that failing to mind your own business, and then our reaction to it, which I realize are two separate things, but they're really intertwined. So mm-hmm. In the meantime, before we go to all that and solve all the problems by the end of the year, my realistic action step is going to be, I'm going to do that thing where I'm going to print all this out
mm-hmm.
for everyone, and we're going to sit down and mm-hmm. do it. And the setting up myself for success, in our family, the mom controls the calendar. So I'm going to just set aside time on Sunday afternoon. We try to do a, like, what's coming up this week kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as part of that this week, I'll grab this, print it out, and we'll just talk quickly about, hey, what are some parts of your brain, you know, that do different things, and where are things that we do well and where are things that we don't. So
cool.
That's what I'm going to do.
Awesome. And just a suggestion on the other piece. Think about connection and if there's something there in terms of how he's connecting with other people or connecting with you or connecting with friends.
In
just
terms
kind
of like
the back of your mind.
Getting attention, even if it's a negative.
Yeah, but more from a positive standpoint, you know, is he getting enough one-on-one time with you? Is he getting enough one-on-one time in a positive way?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
No, yeah. I think that that's for both kids. That's a challenge.
It's tough
to fit it in.
Yeah, it's tough to balance that. There's just not enough date nights available.
Yeah, that doesn't even count. That doesn't even part of the conversation.
I mean, dates with your kids, you know.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Take care. Who wants to check out next?
Hi, I'll go. My name is Cecilia.
Cecilia, you're like, I'm here. I'm really here.
Sorry. I don't know if I should.
Yeah, you're great.
The focus that I made on that I got from the phone call is that it really doesn't come down to the kids as much as the parents trying to guide them and trying to stand back and not be so emotionally involved, even though it's hard, and just say yourself in the midst of chaos or in the midst of emotional intensity to just say, it's not personal, this is the brain. Mm. And do the I forget the acronym that you use, but where you ACE, I think it is, where you try to mirror and then have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So the aha for me was when you said that the medication does not really provide tools, and you know I have to think about that because I'm not sure. I'm not saying I disagree with you, but it's something that I never have thought about. Like, it's a sentence that I never connected the two, and I have to see if that is how that applies to my son. If it does give tools, because he notices a big difference in himself. He'll say, when I'm on the medication, I can do this. When I'm not on the medication, I can do that. You know, and so he notices a difference, and I think he's aware of what he can and cannot do when medicated and when not medicated. So it's something for me to be aware. And as far as the realistic actions to take, it's just to continue to remind myself of the separation, not being emotionally involved, and to practice the aim. And that's, you know, and obviously the how to set myself up is just to keep saying that to myself, just keep saying that to myself. It's like a mantra, you know, not personal.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, like, I hate you, ruin my day, it's like, I understand. I'm sorry. Or, yeah, it really sucks that you're going through this, you know. And and I think it's definitely a challenge. Yeah, it is a challenge because he fights really hard to get what he wants, and it is unfair that he can't. Like, he would like a sleepover, but he has trouble controlling his emotions. He gets so excited. I can't even envision, like, three other boys who are equally energetic but don't have ADHD or not diagnosed, how I would even sleep for a minute, you know, letting
them
sleep. So, and I can't medicate him because it's not right for me to do that, for him to sleep, you know. So some parents do that. I'm like, oh,
no,
God, I can't do that. Yeah, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's so that's what I have to it's really all the same mantra, the focus, the action, the realistic action to take, in the successes, the ACE, the mirroring, the compassion, and the separation
for you
of emotion.
Got it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm cognizant of time. We've got time for a couple more people to check out before the top of the hour, and then I'm happy to stay on a little bit after. There are people who want to stay on long enough to get a chance to check out. Who wants to go next?
It's Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi. I guess shifting expectations is the big takeaway. I did focus on the previous caller to me, the caller that followed me, because we have the same situation with that not communicating and telling us what he wants for anything. And that's a struggle. But shifting expectations and my reaction to it, I think, is the big takeaway. And I think the realistic action step for me is to get more education about this. He hasn't been diagnosed with ADHD, but he was evaluated, and he sort of could be, but wasn't you know, nobody's going to give him medication yet. I need to learn more about what's going on here because I see the symptoms and I just need to educate myself more, I think.
Okay.
Get more information about this disorder.
Yeah. Now, when in doubt, continue to collect information for sure. Do some research. Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I see lots of people left still. Who wants to go next?
This is Pat in Atlanta. I'll go.
Go, Pat.
Okay. I believe what I focus on today, one reason I like these calls is I hear parents say things either I've already been through or I'm like, oh, I understand that situation. So it just, to me, it just makes me realize, you know, I'm not the only one out there that, you know, has issues with ADHD, and it's okay, you know. It's it's not as unusual as you think when you get on this call. What I'm going to work on is for my son, getting him back on his planner and just being more curious with him and helping him understand what's going on and why he's not doing it, and try and rather than me just telling him, get him focused, you know, on him doing it more than us telling him, if that makes sense. So
it does. It does. Great. Thank you. All right, we got time for one more. Who wants to go? Where are my Chicagoans? Chicagoites? Nothing? All righty. Well, I guess we'll just stop there then. Have a great couple weeks, you guys. Please don't
hesitate
to reach out to any of us. Yep, if you have any questions, and we'll talk soon. Take care. Thanks
All
for
right.
being here today.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.